May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So think back to listening to that gospel story read this morning. I'm wondering, where were you in this story? When you heard that story, where did you hear it from? Were you off to the side, maybe a little ways down the hill, watching the action from a distance? Were you standing right there in the middle of everything with Jesus on the top of the mountain? Were you inside or outside of that cloud when it descended? Could you hear God's voice well from where you were standing? Could you easily see Moses and Elijah appear? Or maybe, did you have a little trouble picturing this story? Did it just seem a little too crazy and weird and unbelievable to imagine? Was it kind of hard to visualize what transfigured means? We don't really know what that word means. Was it difficult to imagine a face shining like the sun and how that looked? Well, if you had a little trouble picturing this story, you're not alone. I think many people have trouble picturing something like this that's so bright and shiny and glorious and miraculous. I have trouble. I mean, it sounds like a beautiful image, but I have a lot of trouble imagining what this story was like or how it felt to be there. And maybe you do too. And there is a reason for that. There's a reason it might be tough for us to picture this story. The reason is that we are not Peter, James, or John. We're not Peter, James, or John. We are the disciples who were left standing at the foot of the mountain. Scholars believe that this story was especially included in our scriptures to be heaven's testament to earth about Jesus' identity as the Son of God. It's meant to be a comfort and a reassurance to these disciples before they head right into the difficult things that will happen in the weeks to come. Jesus increasing conflicts with the religious and political leaders, his arrest, trial, and eventual execution. The story is supposed to give those disciples hope and comfort in those tough times. But this story really provides the most comfort and reassurance to those three who were there as witnesses, Peter, James, and John. As disciples of the 21st century, some of us might feel more like those who were left down below. We don't get to see Jesus. We don't get to hear him. We hear about him, but it comes to us handed down through centuries of stories and rough translation. We might not get what he says. His teachings might confuse or frustrate or anger us. We don't know what Jesus looked like or get to see his miracles performed. And so we have doubts. We might have fears. We might long for a revelation as big and glorious as the Transfiguration was. We long for proof and for answers because we have questions. We have our questions. Many early disciples who were not standing there with Jesus on the mountain will have their questions too. I can only imagine that when Peter, James, and John descend with Jesus to the others and retell this story, they have a lot of questions about just how things went down. Those we meet in Scripture throughout the coming weeks of Lent will also greet Jesus with many, many, many questions of their own. Next week, on the first Sunday of Lent, Satan will meet Jesus in the wilderness with questions about Jesus' identity and authority. Nicodemus will meet Jesus at night and wonder if the life of faith is possible for him. The Samaritan woman will meet Jesus at the well and ask what will satisfy the emptiness and the thirst that she has. The man born blind will question who God is and where God can be found, and those who see Lazarus raised from the dead will ask if Jesus has something to say about their own deaths, too. questions that we will hear come from the hearts of genuine seekers. They are questions from those who have heard about Jesus' glory, but haven't gotten to witness it firsthand on the top of a mountain. They are questions that wonder about the kingdom of God and if there's a place for them. Questions that ask about the Son of God and who he is and what his arrival means. Today, at the foot of the mountain, as we wait for the return of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, we are left with our own questions. But there is good news. There is good news in this story for us and for our questions. Jesus doesn't stay up on that mountain. No, Jesus goes down from the mountain, leaving his glory behind, leaving his transfigured self behind, and he enters the reality of pain and suffering and doubt in our world. Jesus has no interest in Peter's little dwellings. He has no interest in staying on top because Jesus knows what he is to do. After all, he was just told he is God's son, God's beloved, God's chosen. So Jesus goes down from the mountain to meet those other disciples, to meet the other ones who have been left wondering and waiting and questioning. Jesus goes down from the mountain to meet the crowds who will greet him with so many requests of their own. Jesus goes down from the mountain to us, to go with us into all the valleys of life, to meet us in our darkness and our doubt and our questioning. Questions, funny enough, are actually the foundation of our process for new members here at St. Stephen's. They're the foundation of Voyage. Each week, we ask those who are new to our congregation and those who wish to refresh their faith to consider questions. What do they hear in today's scripture? How is God speaking to them? How do these ancient stories connect to their modern lives? And we invite them, encourage them to ask questions of their own, too. A mentor of mine once told me that as we grow in faith, the questions that we have don't disappear. The questions aren't just answered and then they evaporate. Rather, as we grow in faith, our questions just change. We come to have a different set of questions. Today, we might have questions about the Transfiguration. What did Jesus' face look like? What did the voice of God sound like? Why would Jesus take just three disciples up there with him and not include the whole bunch? As we journey further into the season of Lent, our questions might change. Why did Jesus need to die if God could do anything? What does his death really, actually mean for me? And as we continue in life, our questions continue to change. What does Jesus' death really actually mean for my child, my grandchild, my niece? What does it mean for my loved one who is dying and who has never received baptism? What does it matter if I am in worship on Sunday mornings, if I can find God anywhere? How can I share the life of faith with others? Questions. And it's okay that the questions never really go away. That's the other piece of good news for us this morning. Questions are not the opposite of faith. Questions, in fact, encourage us to go deeper with our faith. They encourage us to reach out to one another in open conversation about our questions. Questions draw us closer to the mystery of God, to mystery like the Transfiguration, which is hard to explain or to imagine, but about which our questions might draw us into deeper truth and into deeper relationship with God. The questions that our members, both new and old, are to consider in Voyage are supposed to strengthen them. Those questions in Voyage are supposed to renew them in faith. They're meant to refresh them in the gift and promise of baptism. As Marie continues in the Voyage process, Together in worship, we will participate in rites that help her remember these questions and help her remember the promises of her baptism. When we are all claimed as children of God in baptism, we are reassured that God is big enough to handle our questions. God is big enough to take on our doubts and our fears. God can handle the worries that we have. Our baptism doesn't guarantee an end to our questions, but it does guarantee that there will be someone to walk with us through all of those questions, through every doubt or fear or darkness that we might face in life. In this way, the unbelievable story of the Transfiguration comes to proclaim another truth, that just as Jesus is glorified on that mountaintop, we too will be glorified. We too will be transfigured and transformed. As our hymn of the day will put it, the glory transfigures you and me. Not just at the end of time, not just in our deaths. We are already washed and made new in the waters of baptism. We are renewed each and every day, transfigured and transformed through forgiveness each and every day for life in this world. As we enter the Valley of Lent together this week, I encourage you to search your hearts for the questions and longings you have. By opening ourselves up to questions about this story, to questions about our faith and our God, we might better learn to rely on the one who is glorified on the mountain and who descends with us into every valley. We might better learn to rely on our sisters and brothers in faith here who also walk with us. We might better learn the true power of an almighty God who can take any questions that we have to throw. Thanks be to God. Amen.